Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is a not safe for work podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and we are using pseudonyms to remain anonymous because we love our jobs. I'd like to give a special thank you to all of our Patreon donors. If you're interested in joining, you can go to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast Patreon. You can get a bottle opener that says Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast and support us. You also get access to lost episodes as well as episodes before they come out and special bonus. Dun, 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 dun. You can do it for as low as $5. Woohoo! I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Ludlam Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, send them to ludlamdramatics.com. That's LudlamDramatics.com. They can get posters on a wide variety of theater subjects that can hang on their classroom walls or be the background for their Zooms for online education. Use the code TNAD15 to get 15% off at checkout. If you have a story you'd like to share with us at Teacher Needs a Drink, you can hit us up through Facebook, Instagram, or you can go to teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com and leave a message there through the contact site. Please follow, share, leave a review, and the best thing you can do to help us is find one person who you know and tell them about our podcast. That's it. Just tell one person, like, hey, I heard this podcast. It was amazing! And tell them about it. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. Now, I'm really excited we're all able to get together still during this time. Of course, we did it online. And here is episode 31. Enjoy!
I am drinking some sort of unholy combination of coffee and Bailey's and chocolate vodka. And it's delicious, but damn.
Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink. I am Elvis, your host, and we've got an episode today. Today with me, I have Mr. Turd Ferguson.
Hey there. I shaved for this.
And then I have also Miss Sparkles.
Hi, everyone.
And then with me always is Miss Rosie Rose.
Yes, hello.
And then, of course, last but not least, Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Howdy, howdy.
It's been a week. It's actually been a better week. Well, the work stuff doesn't seem quite as overwhelming. This week, I think I felt more overwhelmed with the lack of things to do, or the things that I can do or need to do, I don't really want to do. Like, my office is a huge mess, and I could probably take it in like an afternoon, but I don't want to do that. But for like all the other downtime, like, oh, what do I want to do now? It's too early to eat or start cooking, and I don't really feel like sitting here anymore. I was thinking of things that I'm looking forward to do, and I'm starting to get excited about when, like, packages are arriving. That makes me feel excited if I've ordered something, or I know, like, Thursday will be a night that I'm going to DoorDash something, and so I'll be getting some food or something different that night, and I get a little excited about that. I'm curious for you guys, what is something that you kind of look forward to in the week? What's something coming up that you're happy about? Miss Rosie Rose, why don't you go first?
I'm very much I have to give myself something every single day that I look forward to, even if it's like trivial and stupid. This morning I was looking forward to taking a shower because I got a new face mask to use in the shower. Or like later in the week, I look forward to my Amazon package arriving. I have to like clean an area of my house so that I can then play an episode of The Sims.
Mr. Turd Ferguson, what's something you're looking forward to?
I look forward to walking outside. But actually the outdoor walks, we actually took a walk at a local park around here and nobody stopped us, so there's that.
I am all for the outdoor walks. I usually do a walk every morning and then again at night. And then my son and I started doing almost like a 5K every night, not running it, but like walking one. And just kind of chilling out together. It's become a really nice part of the routine and day that I actually do really look forward to. Miss Sparkles, what's something you look forward to?
Mr. Sparkles, of course, is working from home, and I am working from home. And so we're pretty quiet during the day because we're both, we live in a two-room apartment, so we're working in the same room also. So we're both pretty quiet during the day, trying to make sure like the other can concentrate and trying to like work our video conferences around each other's schedule. So I always really enjoy when we're both done with work for the day and we just kind of chill on the couch and we'll watch like South Park or Rick and Morty or whatever. That's just my favorite part of the day. It's just like kind of end of day decompression together.
Bunny O'Hare, what's something you look forward to or are looking forward to?
Okay, so the school district that I graduated high school from started a Facebook page for Adopt a Senior. So for the high schools that are in that district, adopt a senior and get them a present or do something special for them or something to kind of make them a little bit happy, make them feel a little bit special since they've lost so many of those special senior things like we kind of talked about, but I was scrolling through the list and I found a student who goes to my former high school. We went to the same middle school and elementary, and she has been accepted to the same college that I went to. I adopted her, and I am looking forward to, as part of my grocery shopping this week, getting her whatever kind of crazy junk food her mom says that she likes and just kind of giving her something to smile about. But it was exciting to find a student that had all of those things in common, and it feels like a bond somehow. I'm excited about that.
I thought of something else that I'm looking forward to. It's not until next month, but I'm a theater teacher. I just got promoted to head of the department, and then we had to cancel our banquet. Woo! Woo, yay, promotion. Boo, canceling banquet. But we made a decision that we're going to do a digital banquet. So we're going to record some of the stuff that we would have at regular banquet. We're going to do a live viewing together as a big theater group, which I'm really excited about. But the part of this I'm most excited about is normally at banquet, all of the seniors get a rose from the theater department and they get their graduation cords. So I've got their graduation cords sitting here in my living room, and I ordered some fake roses from Amazon, and I'm going to put them in like gallon bags, and I'm going to like contactless deliver the kids' cords and roses on the day of the banquet so that they have them while we're doing our live viewing party.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That sounds sweet.
I'm really excited to do that. And that's not for like 3 weeks, but it's something really fun to look forward to.
This one is posted by Reddit user RunilWazlibForever, titled, "Aw, Simple Pleasures of Teaching Via Zoom." I was teaching a first and second grade class today via Zoom. Class sizes are very small, as it is a very small school for the deaf, so I only had 4 students. One student, who has a PBSP, extremely disruptive and defiant with an end goal of disrupting class and gaining attention of preferred staff, was doing okay for most of class, then started to get restless. She brought her computer into her bedroom, set it up, then started jumping on the bed, trying to get everyone's attention. I prompted her to come sit, reminded her that it was time to work, and the expectation is that she is sitting at a table. She laughs and goes right back to jumping on the bed. I turned her video off and kept right on teaching. It was glorious. I made sure to uncheck the box so she couldn't turn her video back on. Every minute or so, I would check in to see if she was ready to return. Twice, she saw the video was turned on and started jumping again, so twice I turned her video right off again. After about 3 minutes, I turned the video on and she was back at a table ready to pay attention. I didn't have to waste class time. I didn't have to page for behavior support. I didn't have to remove my students to a different room while she had a tantrum. The only person affected by her behavior was her. I'm smiling just thinking about it. Cheers to all my other remote teachers, just doing the best we can.
Ah, I like it.
That is the dream, being able to handle a discipline thing in a way that only affects learning for that student and not the others in the room. Like, that's the dream, man.
No, it's like that movie Click. I wish I had the remote where I could just silence a kid or mute or make them disappear from the view of everyone else.
So this is from the Reddits, posted by user MathTheState. Rant, it has never been easier to cheat, but somehow they still fuck it up. If you send me pictures of the same piece of paper, I know you cheated. If you send me pictures of different papers in different handwriting, but formatted exactly the same, I know you cheated. If you send me pictures of your work showing exactly the same wrong steps, I know you cheated. It has never been easier to cheat on your math homework, but somehow you still manage to fuck it up. Learn to cheat better. It's a valuable skill. I cheated all the time in high school, but I was smart enough to make it look like my own work. I'm not angry that you cheated. I'm angry because now I have to deal with it. It's not that fucking hard. You only need to make it so that I can't prove you cheated. Write it in your own handwriting. Rearrange things a bit, skip a step, make a small mistake here and there, simple shit that anyone can do, even if they understand absolutely nothing about the assignment. If you made it just a little less obvious, then I could let it slide because nothing matters right now. But instead, I have to collect the evidence, write up why I know you cheated, deal with whatever backlash I get for giving you a zero. And from now on, I have to scrutinize everything you send me. You cheating stupidly gives me more work, and I have enough to deal with already. Learn to cheat better because I'm tired of your bullshit.
Amen.
I'm not offended that you were cheating. I'm offended that you were stupid about it.
Yes.
Can you blame him, though? Like we all know, depending on your subject matter, right? We all know the kids are all going to be helping each other. There's going to be a little bit of cheating, some sharing answers. And some of that is kids are stressed. We're stressed. We just need to get through this time, right? Like we just gotta make it. We just gotta make it to the end of the semester. But if you make it so obvious that I have to bring it up to an assistant principal and it's an admin issue, then like, damn dog, like, come on. Help me help you. Help me help you. Please.
I got this lecture from a teacher circa like 10th or 11th grade. This exact lecture, because shout out to Papa Rose, but he tried real hard to teach me the algebras. And I just, no, I couldn't do it. So I used to turn in his work with his handwriting as my algebra homework. And finally, my teacher was like, fuck, Rosie, look, I know you're not doing this, but could you at least copy it so I know it's not your dad? So kids, cheat smart, not stupid.
Most of the time when I'm annoyed with some students or even my own kid, like, do you just think I'm dumb? It's almost like a respect thing. I'd appreciate it more if you just put a little bit of effort into how you're cheating or what you're doing. Because surely you realize I'm going to see this. And you don't think I'm just going to let it slide, right? I would if I could, but
Well, I know when I was cheating. That sounds like, you know, when I was cheating back in the day. It was because
Papa Rose
and I had been yelling at each other, and I'd been crying since like 8 o'clock to 1 a.m., and I still wasn't getting it. And so he'd throw the work at me and be like, just copy this and turn it. I was exhausted, so I never recopied it. I just turned in his work.
I had to cheat a few times, but I didn't really feel bad about it because I'd learned the knowledge once, but they said we were going to be tested on again. I remember one of them was for geology, I think, and I had to memorize every single type of rock, not like, what do you call it, sedimentary, whatever, but like individual specific, right. Like all the different stones. And there was going to be like 30 of them. And I worked and busted my ass and memorized it one time. And I aced the test. I was proud. Then like a month and a half later, the guy was like, oh, and just to let you guys know, to brush for the final, we're having a quiz that counts as a test with covering all that again. And I was like, I've forgotten all of that. And so I went to my computer and I printed up really, really, really tiny in the smallest font, all 30, whatever different kind of rocks they were. And then I cut it real small and I put it in the bottom of one of those little disposable Kleenex packets, and just had it on my desk and flipped it over when the test was going.
Holy shit.
And that's, I have no brilliant regrets. I busted my ass to memorize it once, and I did. And I know I wasn't going to do anything with geology. It's like, you know what? I did this one time. I'm not doing it another time just because he wants me to. Fuck that guy.
So this next one is from the Reddit's user Goody Snowflake. He or she writes, teachers deserve time to grieve and adjust mentally, especially when we have to continue to support our students. Teachers are treated like we are immune to having feelings of sadness and isolations. We are human too, not robots. And then there's this spicy take from Reddit user Karsticles. Ignoring teacher needs is the norm. The same administrators that talk about building relationships with students don't know anything about me. The same administrators that talk about how we need to be flexible with students because they are still learning also fire first-year teachers for their growing pains. The same administrators that talk about a changing world of social norms will not hire a teacher for having tattoos or for being gay. The same administrators that talk about how we need to be careful about overburdening students will pile responsibility after responsibility on teachers without any consideration for our mental load. I could go on. It's one of the many reasons that I am leaving this profession as soon as I can.
Damn.
Damn.
Damn. Damn.
That's some fire right there. I told you, it's a spicy take.
I guess I'm lucky. I have really great administrators. and I've mostly had really great administrators. I had one really shitty one.
My first year in the school system was a shit administrator.
Same.
Like, shittiest shit there ever was.
No, your girl's been blessed and highly favored, so sorry about it.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I will say for the past 4 years, I've been fortunate to have some very caring administrators, but I do remember the dark times before then.
I kind of same thing. I've been teaching long enough that I have had many, many administrators over the years, and the majority of them have been good, or at least well-intentioned. I've only had, I would say, two, maybe three in all that time that I was just like, this person does not give a shit about anybody. Most of them have been, you know, at least had their hearts in the right places, even if they made mistakes. But man, there have been a couple over the years that I was like, why are you here?
I almost feel it's a rite of passage to go through either like working with a really, really shitty teacher or a really, really shitty administrator who just doesn't belong there at all. And I've had both of my, when I was teaching in public school, the first 8 years, I had this kind of very religious, timid administrator, and she did not understand people who were not of her mindset. And it made it even more tricky because she came from a very wealthy, large family. But it was a Title I school where most of the kids like kind of shuffled across the street from their apartment complex, and it was a rough spot. And she was just clueless on really how to relate to teachers or kids. And it was just, it was bad news, man. Bad news.
My first administrator, God love her, because someone has to. She was a woman who had like immigrated to this country, but she came, like you said, from a really wealthy family. Like, she came from a wealthy family that had like servants that they brought to America with them. And so she understood the culture of the students, but she didn't understand why they couldn't afford all the ridiculous things she wanted them to buy. Like, our school was a uniform only school. And at first it was a, you had to spend the hundreds of dollars by yourself. And she didn't understand why that was inappropriate. And I was like, oh, honey, this is Title I. This is not how this works.
I support kids wearing the school uniform, especially at Title I schools, because number one, it's really, really easy and affordable around here to get a lot of the uniforms, where you can get three pairs of khakis and three of the polo shirts, and Walmart and all the stores always have like kind of the generic version. Like, there's always a very affordable version. Plus, we always have lots and lots in the office that we can give out if someone needs them, just because stuff's been abandoned and we wash it. Or I support it, and I think it also kind of levels the playing field, because I know there are those students who only have one or two pairs of pants or a couple of shirts, and you see them kind of rotating through those three outfits, and that makes it a lot less obvious. The only thing you notice now is if it's dirty, and honestly, as teachers, we help out. We'll secretly switch out a shirt with a kid if he needs one because he's, you know, covered in mud or ketchup or something.
You know, just as with teachers, finding the school culture that you fit in, the same goes with administrators. Like, I've spent all but 1 year of my career in Title I schools. So I get it. Like, that's my comfort zone. That's where I feel like I can relate to the kids. I can communicate well with the parents. Like, I feel like I understand that at this point, but I would have very little patience going to an extremely affluent school where the parents were up in my business all the time and emailing over every little thing and, you know, trying to tell the teachers how to do it. Like, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
So the school where I'm working currently is my first non-Title I school. But I've worked in very bizarre, like, Title I schools where it was like, the first school I worked at was half, kind of like 75% a Title I school and 25% a gifted and talented school. So you would end up with that weird mix of like parents who were not involved at all, like you never knew they existed, and then parents who were like hyper involved, which created a nice balance, and kind of same thing at my next school. What's funny for me is that my current non-Title I school, my parents are so chill. That kind of stereotype of the like hyper helicopter lawnmower parent, it's like Bunny said, like you've got to find the place that has the right culture, and the culture at this school is like, parents are there and we're involved, but not too involved because we have other things to do, which is nice.
Did you guys know that we have a Patreon for Teacher Needs a Drink podcast?
What? Patreon?
I know we have our own Patreon. So if you want to get the podcast like a day or two early before it's released, if you want to hear some of the ancient lost episodes or even get like a bottle opener that says teacher needs a drink or some of our cool swag, you can go to Patreon and get us on there and support our little humble group of thieves and freaks.
What the world?
As we all know, we're digital learning. And it's been kind of difficult because some kids have dropped off the map. You're not hearing anything from them. I had several kids with work missing and, you know, I've emailed parents. I've contacted kids on WebEx. I've contacted them on Canvas a couple weeks in a row and nothing, right? So today I was making phone calls. So I called this one parent and was talking to her and she was saying like, yes, my child has been, you know, he's been feeling a little overwhelmed with the amount of work in the classes that he got behind on. And I'm not sure how to help him. So I kind of helped guide her through like how to get him onto WebEx and where she can find his work to help him keep up with everything. And at the end of the phone call, she said, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate you reaching out. You are a blessing to the world.
Aww.
Yay.
You are a blessing like, to the world.
Thank you. But I just thought that was so kind because it would be easy for a parent right now because I'm sure parents are stressed to be like, look, there's a lot going on and I don't know how to help my kid, so sorry. But instead, she was just like really kind and was so appreciative and, you know, being called a blessing to the world is like, man, that was big. And I just like, that was so sweet. So everyone, just be kind to one another right now because we're all going through it. But those little sweet things are so nice.
I had a parent similar, but in an entirely different direction. Instead of you are a blessing to the world, it was, man, I don't understand how y'all aren't day drinking right now.
So today on Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
What?
Just the Tip.
What?
Just the Tip.
What?
Just okay. No.
Just the Tip. You know, we're in this distance learning thing, but I think we've actually forgotten about closing the distance. And what I'm talking about closing the distance is creating something that allows you to make that personal connection that you had in the classroom. Let's face it, we're all desperate for some kind of social interaction that is beyond the four walls of our house. Find a way to maintain that social part through the distance learning.
That's important. When I had one of my good after school groups, we would literally spend the first 10 or 15 minutes of each class just saying, hey, so what's happened in the last week? They get so excited just to talk. Oh, I'm going to have a sleepover at this house. We went to a movie. He had a karate tournament or whatever it was. But the kids were so excited to share and just tell me about whatever was going on. I was like, okay, well, I had to start setting a time. I was like, okay, you have literally 2 minutes, a minute and a half. Otherwise, it would take up the whole class.
I've been having office hours, and I just kind of set up an open meeting and send out an invitation, and anybody who wants to can kind of drop in. And if they have questions about the assignment, you know, of course, we'll talk about that. But really, the kids have just been, like you said, just showing up to talk. And I've got one little girl that's come to every single one of them. And we just, she's really into my subject area. And so we talk about that. And we talk about what's going on at home and, you know, who she's talked to from our class. And she's obviously desperate for some socializing, but she's a really great kid. So it's been really fun to kind of be able to keep close with at least a couple of them.
It's the evening before your wedding. Everything is going as planned. You are spending the afternoon with a few old friends chatting casually about old times. Suddenly, your spouse-to-be bursts into the room, totally hysterical. Your spouse-to-be insists that he or she has just seen a vampire. When you ask what this means, he or she says, I was looking out of the window of my hotel room, and I could see into the apartment building across the street. That's when I saw the vampire. I saw a man in a black cape bite a woman's neck and drink her blood. I know this must sound crazy, but I'm certain what I saw is real. your perspective and sober spouse is in a state of panic and pleads with you to believe his or her story. You can tell that this is really, really important to him or her. Knowing the fragility of the situation and the intensity of the timing, do you tell your potential spouse that you do, in fact, completely believe that they saw a vampire across the street? All of your old friends are watching this conversation.
I totally would say yes. I do believe in these things.
I think I would probably try to walk that I believe that you saw something line, but...
That's a dangerous road.
Yeah.
I guess as an engaged person, I mean, yeah, like if he's... You know, if your intended is sober, what else could it be? Although, I mean, people...
It's the first crack in the wall.
People are into some weird stuff, so I'm not judging what someone's doing in their own home life. Maybe he saw a little role play get out of hand. I don't know. But I believe he saw what he said he saw.
I believe that you saw something, and it could very well have been that you saw exactly that. But whether that person was an actual vampire or whether they were just getting their kink going, I don't know.
So I have friends who legitimately, without mental illness, believe they are vampires. Like, they're part of a coven. They drink blood. They strongly believe that they are legitimately vampires.
Whoa, wait, hold, pause.
Yeah, we gotta stop here. Sparkles, light her up.
Actual blood or like tomato juice?
Actual blood.
Whoa, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
I know. They're constantly covered. They really only come out at night. Like, truly believe they're vampires. So we know that, like, immortal vampires are not real. But here, my person could have seen someone who believed they were a vampire getting their kink on, you know? So I'm gonna go ahead and believe him.
Wait, do they drink the blood from someone's neck?
No.
Pig's blood, probably from the Baker's Market.
Correct.
What? But I don't. Is that all they drink? Like, do they eat human?
No, they eat food too. But that's like part of the ritual of being a vampire. And like, there's a huge vampires court in Austin, Texas, that like people get together, hundreds of people who truly believe they're vampires.
I don't. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Ms. Bunny O'Hare, it was wonderful having you.
A pleasure as always.
Mr. Ferguson, it was a joy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ms. Rosie Rose, thanks for joining us.
Always lighten up your evening.
Sparkles, it was wonderful hearing
Sparkle
from you.
Sparkle up, bitches.
All right, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday, and you can help us by sponsoring us on Patreon. For $5, you can get some awesome Teacher Needs a Drink swag, get access to bonus episodes, our Discord, as well as lost episodes. I'd like to thank our guests today, Miss Rosie Rose, Miss Sparkles, Miss Bunny O'Hare, and Miss Turd Ferguson, and a special love and wonderful to Miss Priscilla, who's been by my side while I do all of this stuff. If you are interested in sharing a story with Teacher Needs a Drink, you can tag us on Instagram, Facebook, or go to our website, teacherneedsadrink.com. teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Ludlam Dramatics. Make sure you visit them. That's LudlamDramatics.com. Please follow, sponsor us, leave a review, do all the good stuff. Bye!
Damn.
What if I breathe towards the microphone?
No, now you sound like a sexy robot.
Wait, what?
When I talk, oh,
there,
okay,
there you are.
Boom, chicka, wow,
twist.
That's how he passed the class.
Yeah, that's good.